Okay, so this is our first plenary session, and we have three speakers for this plenary session who are going to look at three different aspects of the industry: profit and growth, emerging risks, and data. And each speaker is going to talk for 20 minutes, and then at the end we'll have quite a long question and answer session again, when it's your opportunity to ask all of the speakers any questions that you have. So our first speaker is Andy Cohen. Now, Andy is a principal of Finity Consulting, and as part of Finity is one of the key authors of the annual publication that they put out in conjunction with Deutsche Bank called Pendulum. I think that's been done for about 10 years now, Andy. And the report sort of does a review of the financial performance of the industry for the last 12 months and does some crystal balling about the outlook for the next few years on a class-by-class basis. So Andy has worked on the report and is a key author for the last few years. He worked in London as a Lloyd's broker, then for a London market reinsurer, and ended up in Australia as a consulting actuary about 20 years ago. So I'm now going to ask Andy to talk about the industry outlook on profit and growth.
Thanks, Estelle. I caught the tail end of the last speaker, so I think I'm going to have to bring you all down to earth. I don't think I can be quite as exciting as that. It put a smile on my face. So, where are we up to? Okay. So, I've got 20 minutes. I haven't got a watch, so please tell me when I'm getting close. I might flex my muscles, the watch fell off. So, what I'll take you through today is a little bit of a story in pictures. And I'll tell you why that is in a minute. We'll look backwards like good actuaries as to what's happened in the industry, which gives us, I guess, some good information as to what happens when we look forwards a bit. Maybe not looking forwards as far as the previous speaker, although some of the issues he talks about do feed into my theme, which is a lack of growth in the industry for now and for a while to come. And then I've got a slide on just each line of business and I guess its profit outlook and its premium outlook and what some of the risks are. And I'll talk a little bit perhaps about what some of the challenges might be for you young actuaries here. Well, there's a few older ones as well. Don't know how they how do they creep in? I thought it was under 30s only. Okay, so Pendulum is about 100 pages long, if not more. Gets bigger every year. So we try and boil it down to one picture, what our theme is in one picture. In the previous publication, not the one we just done, but the one the year prior, the Soccer World Cup was going on, so we had this theme of extra time. And why did we have a theme of extra time? Well, I guess we could see there were some issues in the industry around growth and profitability, but there were some factors that were allowing the industry to keep its profitability at pretty high levels. And that is, in fact, how 2013-14 turned out, with some soft reinsurance pricing helping insurers, and still some premium growth coming through from earlier years as well. And I'll give you some numbers behind that and the detail later on. But that was our view two publications ago. Now, the publication that we just put out, which was just over a month ago, summed up our view a bit differently. And maybe with all the shark attacks up and down the coast at the moment, this is, which I didn't know about at the time, but this is quite salient. And I guess the industry is heading into some troubled waters, or it's probably in there already, to be honest. And the outlook going forward is not as strong as we might have seen sort of in 13-14 and the year prior to that. And I'll talk a little bit about what those, to mix metaphors, what those headwinds might be. Okay, so there's an actuarial joke in here about looking backwards to get an idea of what's looking forward. If you Google it, you'll probably find it. Let's look backwards first at how the industry performed in the last couple of years and where, I guess, it's where it is right now and why that might inform us to where it is when it where it might go going forwards. So looking at the top line, keep up to speed. We did have, looking further back, some periods of quite good growth. We live and work in a fairly mature industry, and we expect premium to probably go up in line with economic growth and inflation in very broad terms. And so those peak years there, those peak years there around 2012, that's quite unusual for the industry, and that was off the back of some reductions in reinsurance pricing that weren't passed on to consumers, and so allowed insurers to sort of keep, well, sorry, this is gross, isn't it, but keep gross premiums high. Then we see sort of a bit of a tailing off, in fact, quite a strong tailing off of growth. And so that by 13-14, growth was a little under 6% when we adjust for the FSL coming out of Victoria, which is, I guess, broadly in line with growth and inflation, maybe a bit above, until we get to 14-15, where growth is in the low single digits. And that really is not keeping pace with inflation and growth in the industry, which therefore suggests that we're seeing rate reductions in many classes, if not most classes. Now, that might not be a surprise in commercial lines. We've had a soft market for a long time. But in personal lines, we've sort of been able to grow, I guess, the top line to some extent a bit better than we've seen in 14-15. So we've headed into that low growth environment, and it was, I think it was fairly predictable, so I don't think it's a new theme, but we're in that low growth environment for 14-15, and maybe, I guess, driverless cars is an issue, maybe coming sooner rather than later, I might see sort of some of the premium pools in motor not really grow at all, not grow very much. Okay, that's top line. Looking at the loss ratio, the loss ratio in 13 and 14 was very low. We had some pretty benign weather, and we hit loss ratios what in around the low in the high 50s, around maybe 60%. And then we had over last year, we had quite a series of weather events that grew the gross loss ratio up to 70%. Still below though, as you can see, that peak round here, when we had a lot more weather activity going on. So 70% isn't that bad an outcome compared to previous history, but it's certainly a lot worse than we saw in 13-14 when weather was pretty good. So a good sort of 10 points or more added to loss ratio on the gross. I won't go into in detail what happened with the reinsurance recoveries on that, but the nature of the events was such that while there were reinsurance recoveries, they weren't that significant. I didn't give too much relief to insurers in terms of their profitability. In fact, reinsurers sort of operating even in 14-15 when we had all those weather events, probably at loss ratios around 45-50%, which is still quite good. So what does that mean? We've got premiums and claims. I won't talk about expenses. They've been pretty flat. What does that mean in terms of the insurance margin? And the insurance margin, for those of you who aren't sure of that, say it's premiums less claims less expenses plus a little bit of investment income. And what you can see here is a big drop in 2015. The 13 and 14 years were very good years, and with some headwinds on growth, some extra claims coming through because of the weather, we saw an insurance margin of 11%. Now, is that good? Is that bad? 11%. It certainly looks a lot worse than you've seen in the previous years. But I think, you know, 11% is probably the bottom end of a range that insurers might be targeting through a cycle. So it's not that bad, but nowhere near as good as those 18-19% years that we saw there. So if you have to think of it in terms of return on capital, then again, gets a similar shape of those bars. We had some pretty impressive returns on capital above 15% for 13 and 14. And the APRA data, I don't think, is yet fully in for 15, but we think it will head around to around 12% return on capital. So I like to think of insurers targeting around 15% return on capital, and we're coming in at 12 for 14-15, which is really, I guess, if you look at the long-term history post-HIH, is roughly in line with the long-term average. So a reversion to average return on capital levels for 14-15. Okay, let's have a look at the future. So there's a few themes here I think I've hinted at in the earlier slides around premium on the left-hand side. So there's some very unfavourable trends in terms of premium volumes and in terms of premium rate growth and investment return as well. And perhaps helping the industry along a little bit is a little bit on the reinsurance side and the expenses side. So I'll talk a little bit to each one of those. And just looking at the premium side of the equation. So on personal lines, I think the potential for growth going forward in the pool, the industry has been a victim of its own success. There's been some very high returns on capital in personal lines, in motor and home. 30% plus in motor. I think I've seen some suggestion that home portfolios perhaps been reaching 40% returns on capital in the past. So in that environment, you're going to get a lot of competition. There was a question from someone from Hollard recently. They're probably not seeing this concept of flat growth coming through in their numbers. They've been growing very strongly. But really, it's been at the expense of the major insurers rather than the system itself growing. So there's a lot of competition out there on personal lines, which is competing away some of the pricing and putting pressure on rates and on premium growth. On the commercial line side, it's been in the soft part of the cycle for quite some time. I think there was a brief moment where commercial property, where prices went up very in a minor way, then they went down again. And the problem with commercial is there's a lot of capacity in the market, and that needs to, I guess, find a home for its capital and write some business. And so we're seeing a lot of competition there. The brokers are in that market too, and they're negotiating in some cases some pretty strong rate reductions. And there's a fair bit of churn going on from one insurer to another. And I guess in some parts of the market, it's quite difficult to know what is the right price for a commercial policy. And different insurers have different views of what the right price is, and that allows, I guess, some quite wide variations in price to be presented to a policyholder. Now I move to, I guess, some other issues which I think are quite systemic around why we might see, in personal lines in particular, some limits to the growth that's available going forward. Driverless cars I won't talk about, because I think that's been done pretty well previously. But I don't know whether the previous speaker, I didn't see all his presentation, talked about, I guess. He talked about, and I've got the same statistics actually, 90% of road accidents are caused by driver error, and driverless cars will reduce crashes by 60%. So there's some pretty big numbers. So just very quickly to say, I think that's going to have a massive impact on the premium pool. And there's one overseas consulting firm coined this really quite good word called Carmageddon. Anyone heard that? Carmageddon, which is what's going to happen to the premium pools for motor insurers in the US. And he came up with this this consulting came up with some incredible statistics around something like 60% drop in premium volumes for motor insurers in the US. So that, I guess, it's coming to our shores at some stage and will be an issue for us. Some other things that are out there are, I guess, talking about customer loyalty, some statistics here I can give you, and this is for Australia. In motor, currently around 23% of policyholders are shopping around every year. And that proportion is 50% higher than it was 5 years ago. So we've got a much greater propensity to shop. I suspect if I looked in this room today and took a straw poll, that proportion would be even higher. So it's you younger people out there using technology to perhaps find better prices. In New South Wales, by the way, it's even higher. The extent to which people are shopping is 80% higher now than it was 5 years ago. So if you've got a bunch of policyholders, an ever-increasing group of policyholders shopping around every year, yes, they might say, well, that product's better, I'll pay more for it. But I suspect many of them will say, that product's cheaper, I'll take that product. And so that's going to put pressure on premium volumes for this industry. In home, we've got the same issue. It's not quite as bad as motor, but the trend to shop is still upwards. And our statistics show that Queenslanders are shopping around the most, so it's not New South Wales in this case. Reducing demand for insurance. There's some interesting things happening here. It might take some time to come through into the system, but nonetheless, these are all putting brakes on the potential for this personal lines industry to grow. Car sharing. So it's in its infancy at the moment, but a bit of research suggests that for every car that is shared, so GoGet and all its imitators that have yet to come through, for every car that is shared, that removes 10 cars from the road. So there's a decrease in risk there. Something else that came was telematics. So it's still a bit in its infancy here, taking hold quite strongly in Europe and the States. Some research shows that having a telematics device installed or within the system reduces vehicle usage by 11%. And one European insurer claims that telematics results in a 40% drop in crashes. So along with driverless cars, there's quite a bit of de-risking going on in motor insurance. And that surely must lead to, I guess, prices to reduce. 5 minutes, perfect. Very low yields, no surprise here. So for those of you under 30, there are quite a lot of you here, you're probably used to 3% and 4% discount rates. Who here remembers 5.5 and 6? That was your choice every valuation. 5.5 and 6. Yes, thank you, Sharanjit. Sorry to name names. So we are in a low yield environment. That means pricing has to respond to that. I think our view of the liability target loss ratio is that it needs to be around 55% at the moment to meet target returns on capital, because if not, that's sort of pressured by the lack of investment income. On the favourable side, I guess my point here is, yes, there are some things that might help the industry, but I don't think they're enough to combat the low growth environment we're finding ourselves in, the rate reductions that are coming through in all lines. The reinsurance market, and perhaps Warren next will talk about that. I'm not sure what you're talking about. So. No, you're not great. I won't steal your thunder. The reinsurance market has a lot of capacity. It sounds like a small proportion, but there's this alternative capital globally that's come into the reinsurance market. It's about 10% of global capacity. Doesn't sound like a lot, but it's playing mostly in the catastrophe reinsurance space, and that's what Australian insurers buy a lot of. And on the expenses side, there's still a lot of transformation programs going on. Suncorp has been through that process for a number of years and has recently announced another program, IAG, I think, in the middle of one. Some of you here probably know better than me. QBE globally are sort of looking at their expenses. So those things will help a little bit, but are not enough to combat these sort of unfavorable headwinds that are there. So very quickly, I won't go through each one of these, but what I have here is a graph that shows by line of business our view of the outlook for premium growth and the outlook for profitability and some of the risks around that. I guess the outlook for premium growth is all pretty much red. So in pretty much every class of business, we are expecting low growth, less than 5%. And in terms of profitability, I might sound doom and gloom, but those personal lines are coming off returns on capital that are well above 15%. So even if there is this competition competing away some of those margins, it's still the outlook is quite good for at an industry level for those personal lines. Some of the commercial lines are still profitable, but borderline. Commercial property is not meeting targets, only on an underlying basis. It's relying on good reinsurance and good weather, we believe, and there are some issues there. I guess with a bunch of actuaries in the room, if I was to think about some areas that you probably are involved in but could add that, certainly can add value. In personal lines, with so much competition going on for basically a static market volume, retention strategy and clever retention strategy is a very key area to be playing. In commercial property, I think perils pricing is very important. It's very easy to sort of have a few years without big weather claims and to think you can price a portfolio to a certain level. You need to sort of get a bit cleverer than that. And individual risk selection is important there as well as in certain liability. On the liability side, I think sort of thinking about the future environment, the environment right now is sort of reasonably well balanced between claimant and insurer, but it can turn quite quickly. So keeping an eye on that environment is important, something we call the talk temperature. And just, I think helping sort of your underwriters know what future superimposed inflation might look like for that class. And in D&O, professional indemnity, well, class actions and watching the economy and pricing appropriately for class actions is something I think actuaries can help in as well. So I'll leave you with my picture. That's my view of the immediate future for this industry. Some strong currents. We need to navigate them well. I don't think there's going to be mass drownings, but it's not as easy as it was in the last few years. Thank you.